This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision.
Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Hello, everyone. It's just Melanie tonight. Hal has gone off to support one of our sons. Caleb's University Choir is having a concert tonight, and we felt like at least one of us needed to be there because family comes first. So we sent Hal to support Caleb because, you know, I'm the one that has no musical talent. I took 8 years of piano lessons and can't play chopsticks. So Hal is supporting Caleb, and I hear the concert's fantastic. And I'm here with you where we're going to talk about how do you give meaningful gifts. Gift giving, it's a bit of a challenging thing because the world kind of goes crazy. They rack up thousands of dollars of credit card bills, and they have to have the latest gift. And it seems like the focus is on the wrong things. The focus is on spending as much money as possible, and the focus isn't really on what gift giving is all about. Do you know why we give gifts at Christmas? It's really interesting. We give gifts at Christmas because we were given the very best gift of all at Christmas. Because remember, when the first Christmas came, God became flesh. Jesus came here and lived as a man. And he didn't commit any sins. He didn't do anything wrong. But he lived as a man, and then he died on the cross. And he took our punishment on himself so that we could be forgiven. And, you know, that's really the greatest gift of all. And our gift giving is reminiscent of that. I think it probably became a tradition because of the wise men. You know, the wise men brought gifts to Jesus Christ in honor of the fact that he was the coming king. And so it became a tradition that at Christmas, we would give gifts. Now, we do give gifts. We don't want it to be a distraction from Christmas, a distraction from remembering what God has done in giving us a Savior. Instead, we want it to commemorate it. So we try to put a little extra thought in to our gift giving because, you know, what does it mean to give a gift? It means to think about what someone needs and to try to meet their needs and desires to make them happy. And that's really what love is all about. It's putting the needs and desires of other people ahead of our own. Now, but what if you're thinking, I don't have the money to spend a lot of money on gifts? You know, that's the really cool thing, that meaningful gift giving that you'll remember the rest of your life, doesn't have to involve much money at all. My husband's family, Hal's family, is just, they're epic at this. Hal's mom has done a great job of thinking through the gifts that she gives and giving gifts that will be remembered forever. So I wanted to talk tonight about first some ways that you can tame that expensive beast and get it under control. And on the other hand, the way that you can make gift giving something that is a blessing to your family. Now, you know, you may hear some noises as I'm talking because our children are supposed to be cleaning house tonight. I bet that's what your children are supposed to be doing too. We're cleaning house, getting ready for Thanksgiving. And I told them, I said, I don't think I can cook all that stuff until you get the house straight. So they're all busy going around cleaning house. So if you hear any thumps or thuds or people walking by, that's what's going on. Hey, I'm a mom too. Several of our friends have chosen different ways to kind of control the gift-giving thing. Some of them give gifts at Old Christmas. Christmas used to be celebrated on January 6th, and that was Epiphany. That's when we celebrate the wise men coming. And it used to be a tradition. You remember the 12 days of Christmas? Well, the first day of Christmas was Christmas Eve, and the 12 days of Christmas ended with Epiphany, the day that we celebrate the wise men coming. And so I know some people would celebrate it then. They would. So now there's some big advantages to that. because you can go to the after Christmas sales and stock up on stuff and get things more cheaply, and it's less distraction from celebrating the birthday of the Lord at Christmas. Some of our friends only give 3 gifts, like the wise men. 3 wise men, 3 gifts. Some draw names in the family. I'm not a big fan of that because I want to be able to give for each of us to think about each member of the family each year. Some limit how much they spend. One family we know gives 1 toy, 1 book, 1 piece of clothing. Probably the most effective way to control your spending at Christmas is to change expectations. To teach your children to enjoy unusual and thoughtful gifts and not just to look for the hottest new thing. So we're going to talk about some of the meaningful things that we've done over the years and our friends have done that you might be interested in doing too. One thing that you can do is give memories. What do I mean by that? Well, it's been a tradition. We started this, I think, when our oldest son was a baby over 2 decades ago. We started giving both of our mothers a photo album for Christmas that would have pictures from all year and some description of what we did. At first, it started because we lived a long way away from them. We knew they couldn't see that day-to-day life. But they loved it so much that even now that we live a lot closer to them, we've kept that up. And really, it's not that expensive, especially now with digital cameras. We just take pictures all year. And then early in December, I put together a photo album, and I have it printed by one of those photo book companies. If you look for coupons, you can find them really cheaply sometimes. And that has been, I make one for each set of grandparents, one for us, and they're all the same. It's not really that big a time commitment, and it's not very expensive, but it means so much. One thing people have done with us in our extended family is to give us memories, like give us trips. I'm not talking about a big vacation, but just a short-term thing, like a weekend at a cottage or even a daycation where you say, okay, for this present, I'm going to take you to this state park you've always wanted to go to, or this national park, and we're going to take a picnic, and we're going to have a special day together as a family. And so giving memories, things that will last longer, like one family I know gave a Zoom membership to the family. Now, what did they do to have something to unwrap? Well, you know, they wrapped little stuffed animals. You know, they gave that something that the family could enjoy all year long. Those memories, the things that build family togetherness, are things that I think we remember a lot better than the doll that we got or the bike. Another way to give memories is to give what our family calls blasts from the past. This is something that Hal's mother started doing that it has been incredible. She has given us family heirlooms. Sometimes they're really incredible things. Like one time we received the 1800s farm journal that belonged to Hal's great-great-great-great-grandfather. Sometimes it's not that earth-shaking, but it still means a lot. For one gift, she gave our son, who's a real outdoorsman, his late grandfather's fishing rod. You know, that didn't cost her anything, but that'll be something he cherishes all his life as he uses his grandfather's fishing rod. He never knew his grandfather. His grandfather went to heaven before we were even married. And so she's given tools and toolboxes and tackle boxes and paintings that she's done and just things that that wouldn't mean anything to someone outside our family, but within our family, they mean so much. Now, you may be thinking, what child's going to be excited to open an old tackle box? You know what? If you handle it right, they will be. If when they open that, if you gasp and you say, wow, that's your grandfather's tackle box. Amazing. Wow, and you open it up and you start sharing memories. Yeah, it's going to mean a lot to them. Some other meaningful things are to give them things that they're going to use all year. You know, the latest toy that's being advertised often is not even something very fun. They're going to use it for a few weeks and then lose it or break it. But things like costumes and play equipment. I remember one year our boys got cowboy boots and cowboy hats. And they used the cowboy boots for dress shoes all year. It was very practical. But they loved it because they were into cowboys right then. We also gave them a bunch of cowboy books, historical costumes. And this is a great time to buy them, actually, because a lot of the online merchants that sell costumes have really marked them down since that holiday in October. And so you can find sometimes pharaoh costumes, medieval knight costumes, things like that, very inexpensively this time of year. Toy guns and swords, we've got a bunch of those on our site. In fact, we just added something new. For the first time, we've got training swords, which are like, they have the heft of real swords, and so that's a good gift for your preteen teen sons because it's something they can really learn defense with, but it's still completely safe. And don't forget the Army surplus stores, because a pup tent and a canteen, a web belt, an ammo box, those are things that can keep a boy dreaming all year. And so giving things that will help with creativity and imaginative play are things that will have meaning, because you can, both of you will remember that all year. Another thing is to give them something that was meaningful to you as a child. For example, Hal loved model railroading when he was younger. And so one of our sons became interested in it, and his older brother gave him a subscription to Model Railroader magazine. Hal gave him some pieces and to add to his equipment. And that's really built a bond between Hal and our son, because as Hal was able to share stories of his childhood and things he was interested in, and share that hobby with our son. And so if you have a hobby or something, give some supplies to your children and welcome them into your world. I think it's almost time for us to do a few minute break, not even a few minutes, a short break, so that we can talk about, no, not even time yet, I'm moving too fast, so I can talk a few more minutes. Other things that are meaningful are things that recognize the new stages of life our children are entering into. Like a young man who's no longer a little child, giving him his own toolbox, his own power tools, mom giving a daughter her own cooking equipment or cookbooks, things that recognize, you know, you're becoming a grown-up. You're going to be getting ready for life. Those are things that can mean a lot to our kids. You know, even just a toolbox full of basic maintenance tools and some, you know, lumber out of the backyard is a great gift for your children. One family I heard of bought bikes at thrift stores, and they were in pretty sad shape. And so Dad took them home, and he took them apart, and he rust-oleumed them, and he sanded them down so they were just bare metal, and put all the pieces in a box. And then he and the children enjoyed putting those bikes together and painting them and making them brand new just for them. And so it doesn't have to be something really expensive as long as you think about it and you use things that are going to be intentional and helpful in building those relationships. Sewing supplies and sewing kits, things that are going to encourage us to spend more time with our children, I think is very powerful. Now, it's time to tell you just a minute about our site. We are introducing some new products this week, and I'm really excited about it. In fact, a bunch of new things. I told you about the training swords. We also are coming out with Pollyanna Grows Up, the sequel to the Pollyanna book. And this is super exciting. We have finished the radio theater version of A Cry from Egypt. It is so awesome. It's just so exciting. You're going to feel like you're living it. Sound effects. We had dozens of actors. It's really exciting. You can find out all the different things. You're not going to believe how many different things we have out there. Rock collections, everything. By going out to raisingrealmen.com/Mary. as in Merry Christmas, M-E-R-R-Y. And that's our Merry Christmas shop. And you can see all the different things that we have for Christmas gifts out there. And we've put a lot of thought into what we've put out there. And I want you to take a look at it and see if anything fits into your family life. Because when you do that, when you buy things on our site, it helps keep our ministry going. It enables us to do things like this podcast, and it enables us to keep speaking and writing. So go out to raisingrealmen.com/Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, and see all the cool things we have for Christmas this year. Now, back to talking about meaningful Christmas gifts. This is Melanie Young, Hal's Not Here, and it's Baking Biblical Family Life Practical. One thing that has been a very well-loved gift in our family are books. Hal's mom has a tradition of giving one book every year to each person. And we love to give books too, but we do it a little bit differently, not just one book to each person, but sometimes we give a book to our to the whole family. We do that often. Sometimes we'll give the children a book and say, you know, this is a book I loved when I was a kid. Oh, they love that. Another thing that we've done is we buy old books, books that use bookstores, and say, you know, and again, you may think, what kid's going to be excited to open up an old dusty book? You know what? If you taught them that old dusty books are valuable, they will be excited. Not sure, like, oh, it's an old one. What is it? What is it? And not just books, but audiobooks. I really love giving audiobooks for gifts because it's something we do as a group. We listen to it in the van. It's something the whole family can enjoy. And one of the ways that you build friendship among your children is shared memories and experiences. And so when they get a chance to all listen to the same book at the same time, we're all engaging with that story together. We can talk about it when we stop and that bathroom stops. You know, we have memories of doing that together. And so really love that the whole sharing things together. That's how we discovered Pollyanna. One of my daughters brought me Pollyanna out. She got into the used bookstore, antique store or something, and brought it to me and said, Mom, would you read this and see if it's worth reading? She's still in that age where parents like to know what they're reading. And I read it, and I couldn't stop laughing aloud. So I said, I read like two chapters. I said, no, this needs to be a read-aloud. We started doing this read-aloud, and everybody loved it. Even the teenage boys were yelling from the kitchen, wait, are you reading Pollyanna? Wait till I get done with the dishes. I want to hear it. I said, okay, this needs to be an audiobook. And that's why we did it. Same thing with Hero Tales. It was first, we did it as a read aloud in our family. And so I love books for read aloud, love audiobooks, because again, when we share experiences with our children and they share experiences with each other, we build friendship and relationship, and that pays off later. Our adult sons have this kind of, they say it's a family culture, a family ethos. The things that everybody in our family reads, that everybody in our family likes. And so they automatically have so much in common that they're really good friends. Another great memory builder for your family are board games. Games that the family can play together. We really love Pit. It's a yelling, screaming game, but everybody can play. Millborns is an old favorite that I used to play when I was a child with my extended family. Clue, Battleship, Catchphrase, you know, just all those games that you can play, that you can play in a group are really fun. And they're great too when you have other families over to visit and when you have company, because, you know, that gives you something beyond just running and playing or talking that you can do. Now, probably at some point somebody's going to say, well, what about video games? I tell you, our guys love video games too. We try to keep the game systems at Grandma's house because that gives them something to do when they're there, because she mostly just wants to watch them. And at home, it's pretty much computer games. But you kind of need to limit their interaction with them because they use so much energy in playing them and expend so little energy. I mean, they release so much adrenaline when they're playing them, and yet they expend so little energy. They tend to get really cranky and irritable fact, you can get addicted to video games. And so we try to make sure those have a small place in our family life. And I know that's probably what one of the top things on your kids' list, but, you know, they're more isolating from the family than they are getting the family together. And so they're not my favorite gifts. Some other things that we've done together is we've made things for the holidays. Like one year we were really struggling, and so I made our daughter a baby sling, like my baby sling, so that she could carry her baby doll. I made her an apron. Those things were very precious to her then, and they really just, you know, they didn't cost anything. If I got all the, I got everything but the rings just out of my scrap bag upstairs. And I'm not very handy. It's really not that hard to do. Sometimes when you have no money, sometimes the Lord just steps in and He provides things for you to do. I remember one year when we had just found out Hal had cancer. And I was just absolutely devastated. The same time we found out he had cancer, three different children had a minor surgery. We were just absolutely worn and shaken. And I remember we'd had a really rough year. That was the year that our daughter with a heart condition was born. Been one thing after another all year. And I shop during the year, but I hadn't been able to at all. And so we got ready. It was getting close to Christmas, and I hadn't had a second. I'd been dealing with all these crises, and I thought, okay, tomorrow, Lord, I'm going to go Christmas shopping, and I'm going to buy at least something for everybody. And that day, one of our sons had a hemorrhage and had to be rushed to the hospital. And I remember driving home in the middle of the night. His big brother had driven over to stay with him. I'm driving home in the middle of the night just crying because I just felt like, Lord, I can't get ready for Christmas. I don't know what to do. And I walked in, and I checked email because I was in no shape to sleep at that point. I was so upset. And I got an email from a complete stranger. They said, you know, you don't know us, but we know your children. You know, our children play football with your children. And maybe you're going to think we're crazy because as far as we know, y'all don't have any needs at all, but we really feel like the Lord wants us to go Christmas shopping for your children. I just wept. Because I just couldn't believe it. I wrote him back and I said, maybe you've heard Hal has cancer. The children had surgery. I can't believe God has done this. I've been so worried about it. And they hadn't heard. The Holy Spirit had just laid it on their hearts. Well, they started telling their friends. And the day before Christmas Eve, they showed up at our house. And our extended family was there. Everybody joined us for Christmas that year because of Hal's cancer. We didn't know if he would be here another year. And I can't tell you what a testimony that was to everyone, our family, everybody, to see the Lord provide that stuff. And I'll never forget that Christmas day as we opened presents. Because in our house, we open one at a time. We go around in a circle, round and round. And if somebody runs out of presents to them, then they open one of the family presents, which is piled in the middle. And everybody looks first for the tag and says, this is from such and such, because Mama keeps a list saying, right, thank you, Dad. And when they get to one of those, they'd say, this one's from Jesus. And what was amazing to me is that even though I hadn't given anyone a list, the Lord gave them the desires of their heart that year. And what a powerful testimony that was to our children and to our family. Just to hear the children say again and again, this one's from Jesus. This one's from the Lord. You know, even when you can't afford anything at Christmas, God is there and He will meet your needs and He will stand in the gap. And it may not look like what you expect. Maybe you're going to have to scrabble. Maybe the older kids can give the younger kids a toy that was precious to them. The younger kids can make a card or something for the older kids. But those Christmases where the focus is not on how much can we spend, but the focus is on how much we love each other and how much we care for each other, are the Christmases you will remember. I do not remember much of anything about the Christmases when everything was going perfectly well. But boy, I remember just about every moment of those Christmases where God met us in the storm, of those Christmases when we didn't have much, but we had lots of love, of those Christmases when the children were delighted in the cheap finds that the Lord just gave us along the way. Those are the ones that I remember, and those are the ones that our children remember. And you know, one of our adult children said recently, he said, you know, seeing what you guys have gone through has made me unafraid to follow God, because I know that whatever happens, He'll take care of me and He'll give us what we truly need. Wow. You know, and all the time I thought we were scrabbling along and I wished we had more money, and the Lord was doing a very precious work in the lives of our children. And so if you want to give meaningful gifts, don't look at the commercials. Instead, look at the people you love and think about what they really need or what they're like, or how you can build memories with them, how you can draw them closer together. Maybe two of your children are having trouble getting along. Because making Christmas gift giving meaningful is about putting Christ at the center of your family and leading a family life that glorifies Him, and it's about unity and not about how much junk we got. You know, when I was a kid, I used to go through the Sears catalog and make list after list after list after list of what I wanted, because we had Santa Claus and I thought, he can afford to give me whatever he wants. I'm going to ask for everything. Sometimes when your children know that you don't have the means to give them everything, then they learn to be content with what the Lord has provided. I hope that you will have a wonderful Thanksgiving this week. You can get our Thanksgiving book, We Gather Together, free in the next couple of days at mollygreen.com. And you can get our Christmas book, which has lots and lots of great ideas for having a Christ-centered Christmas, at raisingrealmen.com/Christmas. Don't forget to visit our gift-giving page at raisingrealmen.com/Mary, M-E-R-R-Y. And we really appreciate your support. Thank you very much for all that you've done. We're thankful for you. Happy Thanksgiving. Bye, folks.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.